Sport Podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the Punt Podcast here with William Hill as we get ready and get set to get stuck into a footballing weekend with no less than seven televised games in the Premier League coming up, and of course it's the final day of fixtures in the Football League, and the performances of Pete Farris, Gav Puchalski and Al Ross on this podcast have been sensational in recent weeks. A couple of trebles landed in quick succession for them, so we'll hear from Pete, Gav and Al at the end of the podcast, and Alex Dunn will be providing his expertise with a pick in Europe as well. My name is Dave Kellner and I'm joined on the line by, first of all, punt regular Derek McGovern, who's maybe licking his wounds after Liverpool's 3-0 defeat at the Camp Nou last night. Derek, how do I find you this morning?
Yes, licking my wounds indeed. Yeah, it was a disappointing night. And I tell you, one thing that got my goat at the end was the man who escaped the flak for Liverpool, and I reckon he was responsible for two of the goals, Alisson, the keeper. I think it'd been an accident waiting to happen for a long time, and they happened last night. He put his right back in trouble for the first messy goal, and I tell you what, the second messy goal, great free kick though it was, I'd have saved that.
Oh, Derek. This is David McDonald joins us, the Daily Mirror's Manchester football correspondent, our guest from the FWA. David, this is what I've got to put up with every single week on this podcast.
Yeah, you have my sympathy, Dave.
That was unstoppable, that free kick. I think it took a slight deflection, maybe a nick off Joe Gomez, but it was sensational from Messi.
He was too far over. The keeper was too far over to his left. He was just in the wrong starting position. Had he been in the right starting position, he could have headed it clear.
David, bring some sanity to this podcast.
I'll do my best. No, I think any keeper would have struggled to get that free kick. It was just absolutely exquisite. I mean, the curling on it, I mean, as you say, it took a slight deflection, but the execution, the technique, I mean, he put it in the one place where he just simply couldn't get to. So I think we have to cut Alisson a little bit of slack on that one.
Liverpool virtually out now, given they were beaten 3-0 last night. What did you make to the performance, Derek? Because I thought Liverpool, they set up pretty well and they dominated the opening 15 minutes of the second half as well, but were undone by Messi's magic like so many teams have been in the past.
Yeah, they did well. You wouldn't say they were absolutely useless and outclassed. They played well, and 3-0 was a cruel scoreline. I think Barcelona probably deserved to win, but it should have been a lot closer, and it should have been still up for grabs going back to Anfield. But when you got Messi in your team, you know, he can just destroy you in a couple of minutes, as he did Liverpool.
He did, and Liverpool now with more than an uphill struggle, David, after that result last night. It was tactically a game where Jurgen Klopp obviously thought he needed to be a little bit more defensive than he usually is. No Trent Alexander-Arnold last night, and he went with that midfield three of Fabinho, Milner and Keita, and Keita getting injured was probably a big moment in the match as well.
Yeah, that certainly changes in terms of the flow of the game. But I think, you know, for the 20 minutes after half-time, Liverpool were the dominant side. You know, Barca, very uncharacteristic of them, kept losing possession. And Liverpool, I think at that point, you've got to make your dominance count. And of course, there was a great save from Milner, from Ter Stegen. And Liverpool just couldn't get that vital away goal. I think if it had finished 2-0, obviously the tie is very much alive. Even 3-1, of course, that Mo Salah miss at the end when he hit the post. I think you've got to score there with the goal at your mercy. I think if it had been 3-1, with that precious away goal, you know, the tie is up for grabs then. But I think at 3-0, it's going to be very difficult. If Barca score, which you expect them to, Liverpool have got to get five.
And I just can't see that happening.
And it was a disappointing midweek for the English sides in general, because Spurs were dominated by Ajax at the new White Hart Lane, first loss at their new stadium as well. Ajax have surprised many people with their performances in the Champions League this season, and Spurs coming into that game, David, I thought they were leggy at the weekend against West Ham, and maybe the size of that squad is costing them late in the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're starting to see the limitations of the squad that Pochettino's got. Of course, Harry Kane's out. They're obviously missing him, but I think the key obviously was Son as well. He was suspended, and Spurs missed his energy. He brings a different dimension to the attack up front, and I think they missed him. And of course, in the absence of two such key players, you need other players to step up, like Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen and Lucas Moura, and these guys just didn't turn up. I think, you know, Pochettino got a bit of flak for his tactics, but I think equally the players didn't show. And of course, they've got it all to do in the second leg. Unlike Liverpool, you know, they're you would say they're in with a chance, but it's going to take a monumental effort to turn that tie around in Ajax.
The latest betting for the Champions League: Barcelona 2-5 to win it, Ajax 100-30, Spurs are 10-1, Liverpool in the betting at 20-1. Just before we move on to the TV games in the Premier League this weekend, I want a quick word on the FWA Footballer of the Year. Raheem Sterling grabbed that award on Monday. David, who did you vote for, first of all?
Well, Sterling got my vote, it was 62% of the vote, so I think he was clear of Virgil van Dijk by about 100 votes, so it's effectively a landslide for Raheem. I think a worthy winner in my eyes. I mean, obviously I see him week in, week out, you know, covering Manchester City, but not just for his exploits on the field, I think off the field as well. I think he's really shown what a leader he is, what a role model he is, you know, this year of all years. He's spoken out eloquently against racism and really taken on that role and showed great maturity. Of course, you know, there was an example as well of him writing to a young player who'd suffered racist abuse and really encouraging him and supporting him. Mm. And I think really Raheem, you know, in the last two or three years, he's not just grown as a player but as a person as well. And you look at his goals as well, you know, 23 goals this season, 17 assists. He's really become such an influential part of that Manchester City team now, and really steps up in big moments. So I think he's a worthy winner. Of course, Van Dijk got the PFA Player of the Year award, and I think it's healthy when, you know, two players who've been outstanding this season and there's not much to choose between them. I think it's healthy when both of them can get recognised in that way.
Yeah, I agree. Raheem Sterling, a worthy winner of the FWA Footballer of the Year. Let's talk about the games this weekend, and starting with Everton versus Burnley, which is an 8 o'clock kickoff on Friday. This one, Everton are 4-7 to win the game. The draw 3-1 with Burnley in the betting at 5-1. This is hashtag your odds, and there will be enhanced odds available on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Decent end to the season, Derek, for both these clubs. Everton drew at Palace last week after that 4-0 win at Goodison the week before against Manchester United. And while Burnley's run, unbeaten run, came to an end against City, they only lost that game 1-0 and they had chances. So both these teams doing pretty well towards the business end of the season.
Yeah, they're both ending the season. You know, it's been a difficult season for both. They were struggling earlier on, and midway through the season, of course, Burnley looked, you know, certainly were in danger of relegation. But they pulled things around. You know, showed the strength of character. You know, in Sean Dyche's squad, and of course Everton as well. You mentioned that 4-0 win over Manchester United, and they've really pushed themselves towards the fringes of that Europa League position now. So yeah, I mean, look, you can say there's nothing to play for because Burnley are safe, but Everton will want to push themselves as high as they can in the table, and as I said, you know, they've got an outside chance of Europa League, so I think that'll be a pretty competitive game, certainly.
Okay, what's your prediction, David?
2-1 Everton I'm going for.
2-1 to Everton, available at 7-1. Derek, how do you view this?
Well, you mentioned Burnley did all right against City, but I think that once they fell behind, there were clear signs that they'd had enough for the season, and Everton have given those signs pretty much since August. they're still going for seventh place, Everton, which is enough for an open top bus ride around Merseyside for them. But they're 4-7, and they're not a team. Everton are not a team you want to back at long odds on. They're just not. You know, no matter how clueless a punter you are. Two golden rules of football betting, Dave. You know them both. Most punters don't back draws, and most punters don't back winners. you get a winner here if you go for the draw. I mean, you've got to oppose Everton at 4-7, but I can't bring myself to back Burnley because there's nothing in it for them. You know, they're safe. I think they're you know, they're high on the beach. but I've got her opposed at 4-7. So the draw, 3-1, bigger than the than you would normally get. So that's for me, 3-1.
And if you're looking for a goal scorer, by the way, Ashley Barnes is 2-1 to score anytime. He's got 6 in his last 9 Premier League away games. Didn't score in his first 8 on the road this season, but he's found his shooting boots in the latter stages of the season. So Ashley Barnes, 2-1 to score anytime. Bournemouth versus Spurs is the first TV game on Saturday. 12:30 kickoff for this one. Bournemouth are 29-10. The draw 27-10 with Spurs in the betting at 10-11. A win will seal Spurs' spot in the top four and Champions League football next season. But Derek, they might have their attention on Wednesday's clash with Ajax. And as mentioned earlier on in the podcast, I think the small squad is maybe affecting Spurs. The last few weeks they've looked a little bit tired, and they will have, I think, Derek, more than one eye on that match against Ajax midweek.
Yeah, they probably will. They'll have one eye on the return there next week, but they could have both eyes on it and they'd still beat Bournemouth. You know, Bournemouth got 2 eyes on the beach and 2 flip-flops on their feet. Their home record recently has been diabolical. The last 3 matches at home have been against Newcastle, Burnley and Fulham. You couldn't have picked better matches than if you were Bournemouth than them. They got 1 point out of them. In fact, the last time they won at home was in January. I'm just not sure which year. Spurs win this. 17-20, did you say?
They are 10-11, Derek.
Come on. Tottenham need to win. It's a steal fourth place. They're playing against the Bournemouth side who are getting beat by everybody. And we're a Bournemouth side with nothing to play for. And Tottenham almost even money. Oh, come on. Buy money.
Spurs 10-11 for Derek. David, there's always talk, about Eddie Howe and when he's going to move to a bigger club, etc., etc., etc. That seems to have quietened a little bit in recent months. Is there a chance that this is just Eddie Howe's level and this is how good he is?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, they seem to have plateaued, don't they, Bournemouth? I mean, they had that great first season back in the Premier League, and Eddie Howe's reputation, quite rightly, was high. But you just feel that they are where they should be. You know, I mean, as Derek said, they played Newcastle, Burnley, I can't think of the third team, and took 1 point. So, you know, they really should be, if they're going to be pushing up the table, and Howe is going to be, you know, regarded as a manager who can, you know, get a shot at a big club, he needs to be pushing them further up the table. Now, I know budget-wise they haven't got the money of many of the teams around them, and certainly, you know, that's a factor. But I do feel, I wouldn't say they've been found out, but I think, you know, they're certainly treading water under him, and they are where they deserve to be.
Okay, prediction in this one?
I think Spurs. I think Derek's right. I think Spurs are going to win it. You know, even though they've got one eye on Ajax, I think they've got more than enough quality to beat Bournemouth. And as Derek said, Bournemouth are safe. They're home and dry. Nothing to play for. I can only see a Spurs win.
Spurs 10-11. Then confident pick for Derek and David. Cardiff versus Crystal Palace next. 5:30. This one on Saturday. Cardiff 6-4 to win it. The draw 13-5 with Crystal Palace in the betting at 17-10. Some trending hashtag your odds available on the William Hill website and on the app as well. Each team to have over one corner in each half is 5-2, and if you fancy goals in the game, over 2 goals, over 3 cards, over 10 corners available at 11-2. And this is last chance saloon for Cardiff. David, they're going to the weekend 4 points behind Brighton. This looks a good chance for them, and given that Brighton have Arsenal away on Sunday, which is a game that we'll look at shortly, there's a chance for Cardiff to bridge the deficit. They haven't drawn since early January, Cardiff, but unfortunately for them, they've only won 4 of 14 in that spell. And this is, I know Palace have nothing to play for, but this is still going to be a difficult game for Cardiff.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. And I think, you know, Cardiff, it really is last chance saloon, as you say. You know, they're 4 points adrift. Even if they win, I just feel, obviously, on the last day they go to Manchester United, you know, you can't see where they're going to get the win from, Cardiff, to be honest with you. And I think, obviously, they've been struggling all season, and I really think that you know, their time has come now. And I just think it's too big a gap. At this stage of the season, a cushion of 4 points is a huge, huge cushion for Brighton over Cardiff. And I just can't see them getting a win that they desperately, desperately need. And even if they got that win, I think Brighton will get something out of their final 2 games. And of course, Cardiff go to Old Trafford on the final day of the season. So I really think it's good night Vienna for Cardiff this weekend.
Okay, Palace to win the game is 17-10. If you're looking for a goal scorer in the match, Wilfred Zaha is the man. He is 2-1 to score any time. And given he's scored 5 in his last 6 away games in the league, that's appealing 2-1, I think, for Zaha to score in this match against Cardiff. Derek, as a neutral, who would you rather be relegated, Cardiff or Brighton?
Oh, Christ. That's a tough both of them. Can I go for both of them? Just get clear off and leave the Premier League to decent teams. I mean, I can't. The two managers here would just kill me. I mean, there's a few of the players are waiting on fitness tests. The two managers are waiting on hearing tests and eye tests. The fourth official is the chief executive of Age Concern. I can't believe Cardiff are so big here. You know, you've got a team fighting for their life at home against a team with nothing to play for. Normally, that translates to odds on territory, and yet Cardiff are 6-4. I know they're a crap side, but, you know, they're playing a team with nothing, just nothing at stake. I can't stand Neil Warnock, you know well, but I just love watching him on the touchline. He's got the permanent look of a man hauling a mattress upstairs while his missus is on the landing nagging. He just has that face. And I can't see him making the mistake against Palace. I just don't see it. I've always backed Palace away from home because of that kind of team. You know, I'd much sooner back Palace at big prices away from home. But that's when there's something at stake. I can't back it. I can never bring myself to back a team who've got nothing to play for. I'm sorry. Cardiff at 6-4 is too big.
This stat, by the way, Derek, plays into your help the aged theme here as well. If Cardiff lose and are relegated, Neil Warnock will have taken three clubs down from the top flight in his managerial career, each one coming with a different club in a different decade. Notts County in 91-92, Sheffield United in 06-07, and of course it will be Cardiff this weekend in 18-19 as well. So there you go. And yeah, that would be something. Cardiff are the bet for Derek at 6-4. Crystal Palace the bet for David at 17-10. And let's move on to Newcastle Liverpool then. Saturday 7:45. This one, Newcastle 9-1 to win it. The draw 4-1. Liverpool in the betting at 1-3. Derek, how do Liverpool bounce back after what happened midweek and put in a performance here?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to. I mean, this is an interesting game. I just wondered, Dave, have the prices changed after last night? Because, you know, if Liverpool had got a result last night, there was an argument that would say, well, then City aren't going to slip up at the top now with the two games they've got.
Yeah.
Would Liverpool ease up against Newcastle? I'm guessing that they've shortened. Surely they must have shortened.
Pretty much the same price, Derek.
Well, that's quite staggering, that, because now this becomes a massive game for Liverpool. The second leg against Barca, that's gone. You know, let's not kid ourselves, that's over. So we've got to get 3 points here and hope City somehow slip up against Leicester, which is not a gimme for City, by the way, on Monday night. Liverpool 1-3. Dave, you know, I've opposed Liverpool at these kind of odds all season long, which is why I'm wearing about 10 bobs worth of clobber now. they keep on winning. Do you want to back a team at 1-3 away from home against Newcastle, who their final home game of the season, 50,000 Mad Geordies cheering them on? Yeah, I know there's the factor of the Rafa Benitez factor. Will he do Liverpool a favour? No, he won't. Come on, he's a Premier League manager who's managed at the top level. And his duty is to Newcastle and their fans now. He ain't going to be doing Liverpool any favours. I mean, to even think of it is an insult. I'd love him to do so, but he won't. I just can't bring myself to back Liverpool at 1-3. It's too short. I don't know what to do about this game. I'm going to go for Newcastle with a two-goal start, because if Liverpool do win, I don't think it's going to be a landslide.
3-4 Newcastle to win plus two. So Newcastle to avoid a heavy defeat against Liverpool on Saturday. They've actually won six of their last seven Premier League games at St James's Park as well, scoring at least twice in each of those wins. So it might not be the cakewalk that's suggested by the betting here, David. 1-3 Liverpool.
I think, as Derek said, I think it's going to be a tight game. I mean, I was speaking to some of the guys who cover Newcastle recently about this game, and they were saying, look, forget any affinity that Rafa has with Liverpool, and, you know, that bond he's still got with the club. He said he will be desperate to win this game, desperate to put one over on Liverpool. You know, he's a winner at all costs. I think it'll be tight. I'm going for a 2-1 Liverpool win, but a draw wouldn't surprise me. I think it's going to be a really tough game, this, for Liverpool.
Alex Dunn here, and if you're looking for a Euro nap this weekend, I'm going to take you to Italy on a Monday night. which may sound pleasant in itself. But there's a big game between AC Milan and Bologna. By the time this game gets underway, AC will know a little more where they stand. The likes of Atalanta, Roma, Torino and Lazio all vying for European positions. There's still a Champions League spot up for grabs as well. But AC have rather blown it in recent weeks, with points dropped against Parma and that defeat against Torino last week, and not doing their cause any good. And typically, I don't like siding with AC. They're normally too short based on former glories. But Bologna, away from home, have won just twice all season. Their away form is pretty rank, to be honest. And I think AC could score a fair few here. If you're looking for AC to score over 1.5 goals just themselves, that's 8-11. Over 2.5 is 5-2, and I couldn't put you off either of those. But what I will say is that from Bologna's last 6 away defeats in Serie A, they have come with over 2.5 goals as well. We've seen a 3-2, a couple of 4-1s in there, and 3-2 ones as well. For AC Milan to win this game, and over 2.5 goals, 8-5 is the price. A decent bet, as far as I'm concerned, on Monday evening in Serie A.
Huddersfield versus Manchester United is the first TV game on Sunday. 2 o'clock kickoff this one. Huddersfield 9-1 to win it. The draw 9-2. Manchester United 100-30 on to win this game. There's been an incredible amount of talk about Manchester United and what's happening behind the scenes, David. And given that you're the Manchester football correspondent for the Daily Mirror, you're well placed to discuss this. I never quite understood the reason behind the permanent Ole Gunnar Solskjaer appointment, the timing behind that. Why wouldn't they wait till the end of the season to gather more information?
I totally agree with you, Dave. When they appointed Solskjaer back in mid-December after Mourinho was sacked, it was until the end of the season. So they'd bought themselves that time. They didn't need to make an appointment before the end of the season. They didn't need to rush into it. And of course, when he started winning every game, I think it was 10-11 wins in a row. There was a clamour for him to get the job. And my feeling is that the club bowed to that external pressure. The feel good factor that Solskjaer had generated. And of course, they won some big games. They won at Arsenal, at Spurs, at Chelsea in the cup as well. But you just feel that as soon as that appointment was made on March the 28th, the players suddenly allowed the level to drop. They were on trial before that. They had something to prove. And it's no coincidence that as soon as that appointment was made, suddenly the wheels have come off. Look, Huddersfield at the weekend on Sunday. I'm going to the match. I'd expect United to win that. I mean, look, Huddersfield, I think it's 1 win in 24, three wins all season. I mean, they're relegated already, nothing to play for. United have got to win both games to have any chance of getting the top four. So I think you'll see a reaction. But yeah, it made no sense to appoint Solskjaer when they did. It was a purely emotional decision on the back of such an incredible run. And I think it was made on the back of the win at PSG. And I think reality is starting to bite for United now.
And I've got to ask you, is there anything in the rumour that Rio Ferdinand might become sporting director as well? I thought there were articles from The Onion or The Daily Mash when I read that.
Yeah, it certainly seems a left field appointment. Look, I mean, Rio's got a history with the club. He's very passionate about Manchester United. He's got, he really wants the best for that club. He has been in talks with Ed Woodward, but United are speaking to a number of candidates about that role. They want to get it right. It's the first director of football at the club. It marks a huge departure for them, and they want to get it right. This disappointment, they've got every single managerial appointment wrong since Sir Alex Ferguson retired, but they can't afford to get this one wrong. Solskjaer, time will tell whether Solskjaer proves a successful appointment, and he'll get the backing this summer. But I think they have to get this director of football right. Would Rio be the right man? Possibly. He's got no experience in that role. But I think United are stressing that this technical director role is not really about negotiating transfers. It's about identifying talent. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. They want to get the man in, wherever it is, as soon as possible, sort of before the summer window opens. So it's a question of watch this space.
Manchester United to win the game, though, 100-30 on. Huddersfield, they've only scored 9 times at home this season. In top flight history, no side has ever failed to reach double figures in a single campaign in terms of goals scored on their own patch, Derek. This Huddersfield side, they could easily be the worst in the history of the Premier League.
Yeah, it's a match between the team who have found Premier League football just too good for them this season and Huddersfield. they've been absolutely diabolical. And what you're saying about all the managers since Fergie, I mean, it just shows you what a loss Fergie has been to Man United over the years.
I bet you appreciate it now, don't you, Derek?
Yeah. We've lost 5 minutes a game at the very least. Man United 130 on, and normally you wouldn't touch that with a barge pole. But everything Dave says, right, this is a team that need the win. They're playing against probably the worst team we've seen in the Premier League for many years. And it's nailed on, basically. It's a nailed on Man United victory, no matter how bad they've been in recent weeks. I think they've only won one in the last seven, United. But they can't fail. It'd be impossible for them not to win this. So I'm going to go for United to win 2-0, because Huddersfield ain't going to be scoring.
OK, Manchester United to win 2-0, available at odds against, actually, 21-20, United to win without conceding. Arsenal versus Brighton next. This is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Arsenal 38-100 to win the match. The draw is 18-5 with Brighton in the betting 8-1. In the leading to this match, Derek, Arsenal on the outside looking in, and given that Chelsea and Manchester United play before Arsenal this weekend, they will know their position ahead of this one. They've inexplicably lost their last three Premier League games against Palace, Wolves and Leicester. They've not lost four in a row in this competition since March 1995, when caretaker manager Stuart Houston was in charge. Arsenal 38-100. Do you want to back them at that sort of price, Derek?
No, I mean, there's too many imponderables if you want to bet in this game. The chief being who will lend me the money to have a bet on it. You can't back Arsenal at those kind of prices. But, you know, a lot depends so much on the Cardiff game 24 hours earlier. If Cardiff haven't won, Brighton will be safe. And it's a safe bet then that Arsenal will win. If Cardiff have won, Brighton will need to get something. And it's a safe bet they won't come out of their own half. And, it could be a nil-nil draw. And then again, if Chelsea have beaten Watford earlier in the day, and if Arsenal have done well in the first leg of the Europa League, which is tonight, by the way, then they will keep their powder dry for the second leg. It's just, you can't possibly have a bet on this game at the moment. And even on Sunday, I won't be having a bet on it. I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue about this one.
Brighton, by the way, they've lost all 11 of their Premier League away games against Big Six opposition by an aggregate score of 23-2. But they might need to pick up points here. And as Derek mentioned, David, there's a whole host of imponderables ahead of this match.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Brighton's recent results, I think they've got 9 games in all competitions without a win. So, you really can't see them getting a win. But Arsenal, of course, losing the last 3 in the Premier League, the wheels seem to have fallen off there, and it's this old battle for 4th spot. Nobody seems to want it. You know, everyone's doing their best to kind of get in the Europa League next season. Ironically, Arsenal's may end up winning the Europa League to actually get into the Champions League next season. I think, as Derek said, a lot depends on the Cardiff result. I think if Cardiff could win that, then suddenly Brighton have really got to get their act together. But if Cardiff don't win or they lose, Brighton are safe, and then it becomes a different story. So I go for an Arsenal win. I can't really see any other result.
Have you seen the improvement under Unai Emery for Arsenal?
Well, we thought so. We thought so at the start of the season. They were flying at the start, and you saw progress, and you saw his philosophy, if you like, being implemented, and the players buying into it. But in recent weeks, they seem to have just lost their way. Now they've got a chance now to put things right. It's still in their hands. I mean, they've got an opportunity now to get 4th spot, and of course they've done brilliantly in the Europa League, beating Napoli in the previous round, and of course they now face another tough prospect in Valencia. But I think he's done okay this season. But I think really, Arsenal fans want to see definite improvement next season. I think it's a big summer ahead in terms of recruitment for them.
On to the Monday night football then. Manchester City versus Leicester. Manchester City 1-7 to win the game. The draw 7-1. Leicester in the betting at 18-1. Holding Liverpool at bay, Manchester City. They've won the last 12 Premier League matches. But many, David, think this is going to be a real test against Leicester. Brendan Rodgers would love, I'm sure, to do Liverpool a favour. And this Leicester side are finishing the season well. A dominant win against Arsenal last weekend after maybe slightly disappointing results against Newcastle and West Ham. And given that City take on Brighton on the final day of the season, Pep Guardiola will think this is it now. If his City side can pick up 3 points, they're going to retain their Premier League title.
Yeah, I mean, Pep's been saying for weeks and weeks now that he expects City have to win their remaining games to be champions. He doesn't expect Liverpool to drop any points, and he's been proven right. Both of them have gone toe-to-toe. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, that we could see Liverpool end up with 97 points
and still not win the title this season. It's just incredible. And that would have been, I think, enough to win the title, you know, all every season in the Premier League history by the last two. So that just shows you how far, or how high, rather, that City and Liverpool have raised the bar this season. Yeah. We talked as well about Benitez, you know, not doing his old club Liverpool a favour, being determined to win in Saturday's game for Newcastle. On this occasion, you've got Brendan Rodgers, who will be desperate to win, you know, to sort of, you know, help Liverpool in that respect. So I just think City, they're so strong at home. I mean, they've won, as you say, the last 12 Premier League games. They've won 25, I think it is, out of 27 in all comps since the turn of the year. That just shows you how formidable they've been. And I think, really, they've shown a different side to their game in recent weeks. You know, obviously, they dispatched United in the derby, you know, with some ease, 2-0. But the games either side of that the Tottenham one and the Burnley one, both 1-0, they really showed, you know, their ability to grind out results and eke out 1-0 wins. And, you know, as Sir Alex Ferguson always said, you know, those 1-0 wins, those scrappy 1-0 wins, when you're not playing at your best, but you get the job done and get over the line, they're the ones that can win you titles in the end. So I'd expect a City win, although I don't think it'll be comfortable for them by any stretch.
Manchester City maybe 1-0 again, 10-1 City to win the game by that solitary goal. It's worth bearing in mind, Derek, that Pep Guardiola's lost a couple of games against Leicester while boss at Manchester City. I always feel that Leicester would set up well for City because they're not going to sit very deep, and they're going to try and come out and attack City, aren't they?
Yeah, they're being priced up like the Huddersfield here, Leicester, 18-1. It's, you know, that's a big price. You know, people are saying Leicester, one of those teams you can never allow to go on back to 18-1. I'm one of those idiots who believe it. Remember when City needed to beat QPR on the final day a few seasons ago and they nearly cocked it up? Leicester are a much better team than QPR were. They've won as many away games as they've lost this season, Leicester. They're in great form, as you said. The manager's getting the best out of Jamie Vardy. He still fancies his chance of muscling in on the golden boot I was reading today. And there's something in this for Leicester. There's also the chance of them to finish seventh and therefore a possible Europa League spot. Whether they'll want that, I don't know. But Brendan Rodgers is getting the best out of them. And I don't think this is a gimme at all for City. The prices are all wrong. One thing I will have to ask you, Dave, though, I've just been looking at the William Hill odds. Leicester to win is 18-1.
Yeah.
Leicester to win and both teams to score is only 18-1. Well, what's going on there? So basically, why your odds compiler is making the same price doesn't make sense. The big bet here, it's going to be my nap of the weekend, is Leicester plus 2 at 17-10, almost 2-1. But Leicester with a 2-goal start, massive.
Okay, Leicester plus 2 at 17-10 for Derek is his nap as well. So let's get to the naps. Best bets this weekend. David, have you got one picked out as your standout selection?
I would think probably City. I think as Derek said, it's going to be a difficult one. But I think you know, Leicester, if you planted a punt, I mean, 18-1 for them to win. You know, they're not. You know, they've improved under Brendan Rodgers. You know, they make life difficult for their opponents. Yeah, Brendan Rodgers will be fired up to do Liverpool a massive favour. So I think if you can have a punt, I think 18-1 in a two-horse race, I think you wouldn't do too badly to back Leicester. But I still think City will win, but yeah, it's worth a punt, I think.
Okay, and overall, in terms of the Premier League weekend, have you got a bet picked out away from the Man City-Leicester game as your best bet?
Good question. What are the odds in terms of I'm trying to think the best bet.
I'm trying to think of the games that you've had a look at on this podcast. Maybe
what are the odds on
Tottenham 10-11?
Yeah, Tottenham 10-11. You liked that one, didn't you?
Yeah, Tottenham 10-11. That sounds like a decent bet to me.
Yeah,
certainly.
I'm going to go with Wilfred Zaha to score any time in that Cardiff Palace game, given his recent exploits away from home. So that treble, Leicester plus 2 at 17-10, Spurs at 10-11, Wilfred Zaha to score any time at 2-1, just under 15-1 that treble this week. David, thank you for your company.
Cheers. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
Cheers, Dave. Cheers, lads.
We're going to finish this podcast with a look at the Football League, and we're going to start with the selection of Pete Farris in the Championship.
Hi, my name's Pete Farris, and for my final Championship nap of the regular season, I'm going to take Sheffield Wednesday minus a goal against QPR at 15-8. QPR have had an absolute nightmare of a second half of the season. If it weren't for the runs in October and December, they would absolutely be looking at relegation, and away from home in 2019, they've picked up 3 points from 3 individual draws. For Sheffield Wednesday, well, they may be left it a little too late to make their change. The job that Steve Bruce has done after after that understandable delay has been absolutely fantastic. They've got towards the end of the season right in the mix for the playoffs as well, and even though they're not going to get them, there is positive signs for the Owls. Minus goal for Sheffield Wednesday, a side who hit 3, winning 3-0 against Forest, and 2, winning 2-0 against Bristol City at home of late, is a very, very good way in indeed, and this is the way I'm going to go. Sheffield Wednesday minus goal at 15-8, my championship nap of the week. Let's head to Gav Puszalowski and get his thoughts on League One.
Final round of fixtures in League One this weekend takes place kicking off at 5:30, and the focus for me is what's happening at the bottom of the table, with 3 relegation places still to be occupied by any one of 5 teams, and 2 of those sides are going head to head at Home Park. Plymouth at home to Scunthorpe United, and Plymouth are my nap at 5-4, even though they are the most out of form side in the entire division, losing their last 5 games straight. They've lost the last 2 at home to Charlton and Barnsley, 2 sides who are far better than Scunthorpe United, and Scunthorpe on their travels have lost 6 of their last 7 games. So these sides are really out of form. But before those last 2 defeats at home for Plymouth, their home form was very good. They were scoring goals, winning games, even taking the points off the likes of Portsmouth and Luton Town. So I fancy Plymouth with the home backing to beat Scunthorpe. There will be goals in this one. Look at Plymouth and both teams score. Look at Plymouth and over 2.5 goals. Earlier this season, Plymouth went up to Scunthorpe and won by 4-1. So my nap, the final one of League One, is Plymouth at 5-4 to beat Scunthorpe. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
A lot of people this week will back teams with something to play for to beat teams with nothing to play for. I expect Exeter and Newport and Notts County, Colchester, etc. to appear on a lot of slips. I think the real value is elsewhere, and I would much rather have a team on my slip that I can trust to perform when nothing's riding on it to beat a team who appear to be on the beach already. So I'm on Crewe at Grimsby, because at Christmas, Grimsby were top half, Crewe were 3 points above the drop zone, and how things have changed since then. 23 points from Crewe's opening 23 games is almost relegation form, but 42 points from the 22 games since is title-winning form. And the weird thing is, they've been safe for a long time, they've been out of the playoff hunt for a long time, yet there's a real professional pride with this club at the moment, which means 4 wins in 4, 6 wins in 8, you have to back them against a club like Grimsby, who've only got the 1 win in 12, and that was at home to a Carlisle side who've taken 2 points on their travels from the last possible 21. Crewe, a very different test. Grimsby have as many points since February as Crewe have since the Monday before last. So which team are the traders making the favourites? They're going for Grimsby, which means I'm going for Crewe at 7-4.